The sun is out and our blockade is legal.
There's the blockade.
Join Robin, Sean, Andrew, and Jalen right now.
This is Admiral Raddus of the Rebel Alliance. Call up the Freak City Blockade.
Did you just hear a cat? I just heard a cat.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Welcome back to the Brick City Blockade podcast here live across social media and in your podcast feed. That's right. It is episode number 58. Folks, we are moving closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to episode 60. And Andrew, were you expecting me to just keep going?
I was waiting for you to stop.
Oh, okay.
The important numbers are 66 and 69, and then we cancel the podcast.
Then that's it. That's it. After 69, we're done. We're done at that point. Guys, welcome so much. Welcome so much to the podcast.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome so much. We're off to a flying start.
Let's go
around the block here. Off to this side over here is Mr. Commander Nerd. Andrew Garish, Commander Nerd, how's it going this evening?
Hello there. It's going pretty good. We got some news and other stuff and more stuff. And yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, down on the other side of the screen here is my wonderful fiance, who always has amazing Star Wars perspective to share. It's Shaylin. Shaylin, how's it going?
I have my own screen this time. Mm-hmm.
What's going on? I'm not sitting
like on the floor next to you.
That's true. Yeah, I know.
Because Robin was like, you're sitting on the floor.
No. I never said that.
I only have one good office chair, so I either had to like sit on a bench or bring in a bar stool from our kitchen, and neither of those options were like super great.
Yeah,
and I always got distracted, and so like I'm actually here now with my own space, and that's good.
And not distracted, hopefully.
No, the last three episodes, I ended up like cooking in the middle of the episode, so like I was either like I think I was like making cookies, and then the other one
we're just gonna make a cookie show sometimes. So
just let her cook.
More Patreon content, but no, I would just like pop in like a ghost and drop a hot take and then dip. So
the Force ghost.
Oh, that's Mr. Sean Micho, co-host of the podcast. Sean, how's it going this evening?
Good. I'm doing great on my stoop today.
You're what?
Oh, because you're a stoop kid.
Oh, I get it. Oh, wow. Wow. I did such a great job there.
Good job.
And we also have Mr. Rule Farm Boy is here. AP5's got an idea. And he also agrees that those are the most important numbers, Andrew.
Thank you.
And Tony is here. Hey, Tony.
Hello.
Good
Meatloaf
to see you.
Meatloaf Tony.
Meatloaf Tony. Meatloaf. I love the backstory behind that, too. A fantastic backstory. We got a lot to break down here tonight, folks, and we're going to go around the panel here, and we're going to talk about our review of the latest episode of Bad Batch. We're getting closer and closer and closer and closer to the finale.
You quit edging us, Robin.
I'm not. I'm just getting you ready. So, oh, wait, that's the definition. So we're going to review here the Bad Batch juggernaut, guys. I and ladies, of course, super excited for this episode. It was what people were going to say. Oh, based on the last couple episodes, we're going to probably see a filler episode maybe this week. It did not do that whatsoever.
Who was saying that, and where did they get their intel? Because clearly the episode after a cliffhanger is not going to be filler. That's bullshit.
It's on the social media there, Shaylin.
They love
to say things like this, right?
No. If you have a cliffhanger where the main character is abducted and we don't know how to find them, obviously something useful is going to come in the next episode. That's like they're not going to leave you for a whole week with like.
Okay, well, let's do a random mission that doesn't anything with the plot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or like we have to go do another favor for somebody to find. No. We already did that. We don't need to do that again.
No. And Dave didn't want to do that, I think, with this episode.
Well, we only have so many episodes left in the season that you just can't afford to. If this was one of those types of seasons like I don't know, I'm rewatching Adventure Time just to have something to turn my brain off after work. If it's one of the shows like that where you have like a bazillion short episodes in a season, then yeah, you can do stupid stuff and goof off and just do whatever. But the animation quality is so much higher this season. The storytelling is so much tighter this season. Like, we have a goal and we're going to get there. Like, every single second of this is storyboarded out, is planned. Like,
Real Farm Boy, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. That's what
he was reporting. He was reporting,
he's reporting the news.
I'm reporting it, Rule. It's okay.
It's fake news, but it is news.
I can give you specific names if you would like to, Rule. Just DM me and I can.
A very big one first.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. We're not going to start any beef here.
No beef this evening. No beef. Just pork. So, Andrew, what is your thoughts on this latest episode and where we're heading?
Well, my thoughts is to reiterate what you were talking about, naming names. I would just say do it. But I really enjoyed the episode. If you say it's filler, it's the most action-packed filler episode that there is. Mm-hmm. And two, it moves the story forward. They're figuring out
the definition of not filler.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, those that are saying it's filler, it's like, do you not know what filler is? It's just a random adventure.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks are conflating the idea that filler is I didn't like it, then they're the same thing. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, no.
Filler is we need more screen time, so we're going to go off and do something else in service to the broader storyline, and maybe there'll be like one or two plot points in the episode that tie into the broader storyline, but it's like mostly its own thing. That's a filler episode.
This episode is like very important for the story.
Yeah. Incredibly important. Yeah.
And I really like how they're figuring out where to get Omega. We got Admiral Rampar back, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he the one that you were yelling at your TV screen about, or was it a different Admiral?
No, I was talking about Dr. Hemlock. He needs to shut up, and I'll talk more about that after. But
yeah. Okay. But yeah, I also liked the dynamic with Crosshair and Wrecker, because we didn't really see a whole lot of their dynamic even in the Clone Wars or beginning of Bad Batch. So that was cool to see. And we've got three episodes left. This is, besides Tales of the Empire, this is really the end of the Clone Wars era. And it does make me sad because Robin, Sean, and I watched Clone Wars from the start to what was it? 6-year hiatus until we
got the final just season. About.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just imagine Ahsoka leaves the Order and it gets canceled. We have to wait 6 years
for anything.
Yeah.
For anything.
For a season. Granted,
yeah, we got Rebel, so we knew she lived, but it's also like, what happened?
I'm sure we got a book in between, but it didn't really help us at all.
No.
Right.
But I am excited to see where it goes after the Bad Batch. This isn't the end of the Star Wars animation stuff. Like, we have Tales of the Empire, but we're definitely getting something either. I don't think it's going to be a sequel to Bad Batch, but we'll see some characters if they live. I'm pretty sure a few of them are not going to make it. Could show up. It could be. We did get Star Wars Rebels, but we never got anything showing the full start of the Rebellion. Like, we have sprinkles here and there with Captain Rex and what Padme was doing in Revenge of the Sith, but they were deleted scenes of the start of the Rebellion.
Right.
So.
Yeah. We're in an interesting piece of territory, yeah.
I disagree that you think... I know you think that people are going to get killed off in the finale or leading up to the finale. I disagree. And I think it's mostly because I know that a lot of us watching are adults and in that kind of like more mature age range to be watching the show and rebase our viewing more on the live action than the animated series. But at its conception, the animated series was designed for children, was designed for middle schoolers, that age range. And so to have, we've already lost a main character, and I have theories on that, which wasn't expected. Like, nobody expected that to happen. It surprised me, to be honest, that they went that route and that they killed that character. But I don't think they'll do it again. And if they do, I think they're going to do somebody like, gosh, what's her name? The smuggler that's helped them out in this latest episode.
I'm blanking on her.
Wanda Sykes character.
Yeah, her. Like somebody, yes. Like somebody who's helped them out in the past, somebody like that. Or like Emery or somebody like that. Like, I don't think Nellise even. I don't think they're going to kill one of the actual Bad Batchers.
Thank you.
Fee,
yeah. Thank you, Will Farmer.
Personally, but I love to hear what you think.
Yeah, Sean, Andrew, you want to rebuttal on that one?
Follow up on that, because tell me where you're coming from. I want to know.
I don't. It might not be like the full batch that dies. If it's anyone, usually with a redemption arc, usually it's the one who's doing the redeeming. If anyone's going to sacrifice themselves for the crew, it would probably be Crosshair.
I can see that. I can agree with that.
I mean, I can also see Omega doing it. I mean, she already sacrificed to have her go to.
They're not going to kill the kid.
That was going back to live action too, because I was about to say we did see Vader snap kid's neck in Obi-Wan Kenobi.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see where they draw the line between, in terms of like darkness and maturity, between the animated series and the live action series. Because I think in live action they can get away with a lot more like mature, like PG-13, like dark themes than they can in the animated, because I think the animated genre in and of itself, like, yeah, we have adult animated stuff now, but this is an animated show on Disney Plus. It's relatively safe to assume that that's going to be a show that's like geared more towards kids. So it'll be really interesting to see where the writers go with that in terms of like, how dark are they going to go?
Yeah. That's true.
Actually, since we're talking about redeeming, I think it is going to be Asajj coming back and her sacrificing.
Would they bring her back just to kill her again, though?
No.
No, but it's a possibility.
I don't want to see her die again. If it's one of those things where it's her putting herself in the line of fire in front of Omega, sure. But if it's just like an explosion happens or something like that, and she dies.
I'd rather not. I mean, I'd rather have that and then or just randomly dying. But
I don't think they would go through the issues of her dying in Dark Disciple, which was supposed to be episodes of the Clone Wars.
Right. But I guess it's not canon, right?
No, it is canon.
It is canon. No, it is.
But spoilers for the book, at the end, she is put in the waters of Dathomir and it starts to glow around her. That kind of makes sense with her resurrection. And because she is a Night Sister, they're kind of resurrected all the time. I don't want, if they're bringing her back, there has to be one. Dave Filoni has to have a reason for doing that. He doesn't just bring a character back just to bring it back. Right. It's just like Thrawn, when he introduced him into Rebels, there was reason behind that. And I'm very curious what these next three episodes have. And it's going to be a sad few episodes. Well, at least the finale is going to be a very sad finale, I feel like.
Yeah.
We can at least hope for sad but satisfying. That's what I hope for.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I hope it's just, it's like bittersweet and not just gut wrenching.
Because that's that's kind of how I felt with the end of Rebels when it actually ended. It was like, it was bittersweet because Ezra went, spoiler alert for those who have not watched Rebels, Ezra went to that other galaxy. And then Kanan's gone. Then we get the epilogue. But it's also like, that was what, 4 seasons of Rebels. And then the finale is just like, this is it. There's nothing else with this crew except for when we got Ahsoka. But we didn't know that was coming. And it's going to be interesting. I agree with Shaylin. I think it's going to be a satisfying ending, but possibly bittersweet because we're so used to the Bad Batch crew.
We're in a very interesting space too, and one of the things I wanted to talk about specifically with this episode, and I think the last 2 to 3 episodes have kind of encompassed this, is we're seeing a large focus on M count on midichlorians, right? And I think the focus behind that is not just because of Project Necromancer and what Palpatine has planned behind it, right? And why I said that Hemlock needs to shut his mouth, essentially, was because it's the typical plot point that Filoni loves to play, that the villain gives the hero that is captured way too much information, because that information is
monologuing
exactly for the next couple of episodes.
When has Darth Vader ever monologued?
Never, right? Monologued. What's
Now, Anakin, he definitely monologues.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
He only talks in monologues.
Yes.
If we're going to see somebody, I like the idea of Crosshair in terms of that redemption arc and then finally like fulfilling that for the crew, right? It's like, I was wronged. I felt I was wronged by you, but I realized that the Empire was wronging me. So now, in order for me to fulfill my brotherhood, I will sacrifice myself or do that next thing. That protects Omega and everybody else. However,
I feel like now is a good time to bring up my theory, because if that happens, I think they're going to bring Tech back. And I think that Tech is one of the brainwashed assassins, because in storytelling, you don't just put a masked character in there and give them that much screen time without knowing who they are, or else there's no payoff at the end. That's why Darth Vader being Luke's father is a satisfying conclusion. It's a known, it's a surprise, but it's a known character.
Wait, what do you mean he's his father?
What?
Huh?
What? I thought Obi-Wan killed Luke's father.
Yes.
Anyway. No, a masked character is always somebody you know, or else the the unmasking is not satisfying. So if Crosshair
going to be
sacrifice himself in some way, I think that
not again.
I think that Tech will come back.
The more that I think about it, I do agree with your theory that Tech is the assassin that caught Omega and brought her back.
Yeah, I do too.
As much as I was like, no, he went splat, things just kind of make more sense that it is Tech.
Just the imagery that we had in the last few
episodes. And
we had a specific reference to him in the last episode, too. Fee was like, anything for a friend of brown eyes. Like, she specifically referenced him in that episode. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten callbacks. We've had specific instances where they're going over plans and there's some like technical aspect that somebody else in the crew picks up, like begrudgingly, like they hesitate and then they pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been moments really alluding to that, to his absence and to him specifically.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense too, in terms of the, like you said, Shaylin, the masked character is always somebody that we know, and there are subtle ways of teasing that throughout the story from episode to episode to episode. I mean, Filoni's done this with Clone Wars. He's done this with Star Wars Rebels, where we've been given these teasers week after week that are kind of lead us towards that conclusion. And where I was going with Crosshair was, I actually don't think it's going to be Crosshair.
Think he's going to die. I think he's going to actually end off like bittersweet, but part ways with the best, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's going
to end up the most most sense for that to happen.
Neutral?
Yeah.
It's like a neutral. I think it's going to end up being Wrecker. I think Wrecker is going to be responsible for the destruction of Tantus and the eventual, you know, because he loves to blow things up. That's like his original thing.
Yeah.
When he first came into this.
But he's such a cinnamon roll. His whole character arc is just being a cinnamon roll.
But that's what's going to get us. That's what's going to get us.
We already had that tease of, oh, is he going to make it?
But, yes, exactly.
It, which I don't like.
Well, they could do a huge swerve and it's Echo.
Yeah, that would not. Nobody would care about that.
No. Just like we didn't care when you blew up on that prison planet in Clone Wars. It's like, oh.
It's just like, oh. All right. Cool.
Is it bad that I completely forgot about Echo until in Clone Wars until they rescued him? And I was like, oh, that guy.
I mean, that's how we all were. But then again, we did have 7 years to wait in between. Like, oh.
I didn't. I'm privileged.
Yeah.
It's
we're leading for that.
Thanks. No, we're leading up to something really big with these next episodes. Yeah, probably death. Something along those lines.
Resistance.
If it's not Crosshair or Wrecker, probably Hunter.
Yeah, and Hunter would be devastating.
Who else is there?
Omega's not dying.
It's one of the characters in the show.
One of them are going. Or all of them, besides Omega.
Oh, yeah, we're just going to have a Rogue One ending.
We could.
It's not out of the picture. It's not out of the picture that they would do that, because there are a lot of other things that Filoni wants to work on, and there are a lot of other projects coming up down the road. He's going to start working
on his movie, that's for sure.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, right? Like, Rogue One, everybody I talk to says it's a horrible ending in terms of, like, we lose Cassian, we lose Jyn, everybody's gone, we get Vader at the very end in Rogue One. But it's satisfying, and people keep coming back to it, right? You're never second guessing
if those characters are ever going to come back, because you know how it ended. So you're never like looking for them in cameos of future projects.
So that's what I'm saying with the Bad Batch, is that we have to put a conclusion on that part of the timeline at some point, because we're leading up to Andor. We're leading up to like so many other series that follow that if the Bad Batch aren't appearing in those, unless they want to move to a live action format and bring Crosshair and Hunter and so forth, whoever makes it through into that format, there's a lot of picking and choosing. The only
one they bring into live action is Omega.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, is we would have to lose the Bad Batch, the core crew, and have Omega live in order for them to kind of pull in that part of the canon moving forward. That's just what I'm picking up. I think it would be satisfying in a way, if they all lived and they came out and said, hey, guess what? We're going to see these characters show up in other things that we're working on down the road.
Heir to the Empire.
That would be fantastic. But if you tease Darth Vader at the beginning of the season and you tease that he's ultimately probably going to have some effect on the conclusion of this series, it usually does not go well.
Usually not, no.
Usually not.
What if they're also leading to the Clone Rebellion? Leading to the Clone Rebellion, which there's sprinkles of it in there. They also haven't really talked, like, Commander Wolf is still part of the Empire, so
right.
They haven't touched on his leaving of the Empire and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. And you notice there's a book coming up that we're going to talk about, The Secrets of the Clone Troopers. It's coming up down the road here, leading up to all these other characters making appearances. So this was a solid episode, though, guys. I have to say, it did everything I was hoping for, and I think it's setting up the next episode to be maybe a little bit more gut-wrenching. I think there is something that's going to happen. I just don't know what it is yet.
The next How many more do we have called?
Left? We have three left.
Three more left.
Next is Into the Breach.
Into the Breach, yeah. They're going to go to Tantus. They're going to find their way to Tantus, in my mind.
Will they reach Tantus in the next episode, or will it be the second to last?
Maybe second to last, then. You bring up a really good point by that, because Into the Breach would kind of mean like we're getting there, like we're about to go into.
Okay, so like, episode 14 is called Flash Strike.
So there you go. Yeah.
So yeah.
But if that's the case, what's the second to last episode's title?
Flash Strike.
They're probably Flash bringing Strike. Other clone troopers with
and
them.
And then
yes,
the last one is May the 1st, right?
Yeah.
Is the Calvary? Calvary has arrived.
Oh shit!
Okay. Yeah,
like,
I know.
Yeah.
But at least we have 2 days to mourn the Bad Batch, and then we get Tales of the Empire, which is probably going to have us even more sad.
Yeah.
This is true. This is
but
true.
But we at least got Phantom Menace and a little bit of Acolyte.
We do with that. It's going to be super exciting. It is for sure. So I don't know. I think Juggernaut was a solid episode. I don't care what anybody else has to say about it. I think we're all in agreement.
Hey, it was a cool X-Men reference to Juggernaut. So
yeah, right. Yeah, it's a really cool reference. Oh, look who's here,
Laren.
How's it going, Laren? You're sitting too close. No, I'm not. I'm gonna stop making that reference. I just remember him on your live stream being like this close to the screen.
Oh, Sean used to be like that when he was on his phone. It was just
Shane
top Lynn, of his nose doing? And his eye,
like this,
like that, or like that.
Hi, how are you guys doing? Want me to just remember, for the next episode?
I remember the Santa hat, just the brim of the Santa hat in the live stream. It was the best.
And that's when we were doing the Google Hangouts for our stream.
Oh my goodness me.
Google.
And we weren't a network anymore when we were doing that. Well, we were kind of a network.
We were using Skype at the time, too.
Oh, yeah. Good old Skype. It would work whenever it felt like it.
Do, 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 do.
So, folks, we also got, heading into Star Wars news here, we got the Star Wars Outlaws trailer. I watched it a couple different times. Shailen, did you get a chance to see the Star Wars Outlaws trailer at all?
No.
That's okay. Sorry. That's okay.
I did my taxes today. I had to do work.
Hey, Shayla did her taxes.
Adulting.
Filing single. Adulting. Well, maybe not.
Hey, whoa. We can't be openly saying that, can we? I don't know.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can. That's totally fine. It's not official yet.
Big Brother's listening.
Big Brother's. Oh, that's just the ring. Okay, I thought it was something else. All right, never mind.
Whoa!
Andrew just flipped off everybody.
That's rude.
That's extremely
I'm sorry.
Rude.
I'm sorry.
Andrew, I apologize.
What? Sean, why are you apologizing?
Because he flipped off the camera,
okay,
too.
Okay, we're talking about a trailer that I didn't see because I was busy doing my taxes. What is it?
Exactly.
And explain it to me. And maybe, yeah, I'll watch it later, but...
I know Andrew super. It's okay. I know Andrew's super excited. Sean super excited about Star Wars Outlaws. Unfortunately, I'm a Switch user, so maybe it's another.
I think there's a version going to the Switch.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
I mean, the trail looks good.
It's Ubisoft. They're probably going to the Switch as well.
It looks like a really cool bounty hunter.
That's the only thing I'm worried about with Ubisoft. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
Yeah. What do you guys think of it? Yeah. What do you guys think of what you saw?
I'm interested in it, especially if it's dealing with the crime syndicate, Crimson Dawn and stuff like that. The crazy thing is my coworker Jay and I were talking about Crimson Dawn, like we haven't got anything since Solo and stuff like that. And then like the next day, Outlaws is like, oh, There it is.
It's cool that you can hop onto different planets. So that's cool.
Yeah, I do like that it's open world. I'm afraid that some of the other planets are level locked, so you can't go to them right away.
Oh.
But I am interested to see how that world works with the crime syndicates, everything like that, like the huts and whatnot. And
we're going to see a lot of the underground stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like this is in placement because, remember, we were supposed to get a video game on a certain Boba Fett called 1313.
Oh, yes.
I do think this is kind of a replacement for that.
You think so?
I think so. They also did cancel a pretty sick Darth Maul game, but, you know.
I don't think I remember that.
Oh, yeah. It was like similar to The Force Unleashed, but it was open world, and you were playing as Darth Maul when he was training under Darth Sidious before Phantom Menace.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
I just remember how many times they canceled and canceled 1313. It was like three times.
Yeah, and the KOTOR remake is either canceled or it's just very slow to come out.
Yeah.
And then there's Star Wars Eclipse, which is apparently still in development, but we know jack shit on what they're doing with that.
Made a great joke on the Eclipse Day, yeah.
They should have released it on Monday.
Are they going to tell us on Monday, Sean? Is that what's going to happen?
No, they should have told us on Monday.
Well, with how Star Wars is dropping their news like every other week, we'll have something to talk about next week.
That's very true.
Should have talked about Eclipse on the day of the Eclipse. That's what he's talking about.
Thank you, Sean. It would have been great marketing.
But we know sometimes the Lucasfilm game.
That was
easy. Yeah. You guys are slow.
They're dumb.
Yeah, you're right.
Shaylin, high five. Wait. No, this way. This way. No.
That is too good.
I mean, that would have been great marketing, but at the same time, what else? Like, from what I've heard with Eclipse, is set during the High Republic, and it's similar to Mass Effect, kind of.
Oh, interesting.
What I heard.
Oh, okay.
That might be cool.
And there's a big.
I mean, the more stuff in the High Republic, the better. Because I've been reading a lot of the High Republic.
Maybe they were waiting for Acolyte to come out and see, like, to get people pumped with the High Republic stuff.
Maybe, but even then, High Republic is woke anyway. So.
Apparently.
Oh my god. Yeah. Apparently. Rumor has it.
Acolyte's dead on arrival.
The woke audience hating the design of the new Outlander.
Well, you know, we're paid by Disney to
look. Yeah, right.
I wish I was getting those paychecks.
Are you okay over there?
You okay, Shaylin?
Yeah,
because I was about to jump up and go see what was going on. But yeah, Lucasfilm, you had your Eclipse opportunity. You can't miss opportunities like that.
It was either going to be the Eclipse trailer or it was going to be the Death Star.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even do a tweet about that, did they? There wasn't anything.
Well, I think they posted something saying that's no moon.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to Lucasfilm and we're going to be like, you guys are out of here.
Come on, George.
It's not George's fault, Sean.
Well, but didn't you guys know George Lucas is coming back in and they're going to fire Kathleen Kennedy for the 50th time?
I love our friends over at Rebel Scum Podcast. They literally begin every podcast with fire Kathleen Kennedy. That's it. And I'm like, that's the only thing you can do with this is just make fun of it because it's just so bad. It's just
Don't realize that she doesn't have anything to do with the stories, but you know.
Was this is an Eclipse?
Oh, seems hey, Jake.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe so.
Okay, that would make sense. That would make
May
sense.
May I just say, though, that whoever is responsible for the trash tragedy that was the sequel storyline.
Whoa.
What? Am I wrong?
I mean, she's not wrong.
Whoever is responsible for that, they have generated a lot of work and a lot of content from that because the amount of hoops that Filoni and I can't Favreau. Do names. I'm really sorry.
John Favreau.
That they have, yeah, Filoni yeah. and Favreau have jumped through to fill the story holes left by the sequels is just like one little line. Somehow Palpatine returned. We're gonna do a whole movie on that bullshit. Has created this entire season of Bad Batch. Am I wrong?
No. Oh, Shailen, fire off. I love this. This is good.
Because as bad as the sequels were and as bad as that story was, it has generated so many opportunities to patch that ship retroactively, to go back in the canon and say, okay, how can we make this work now?
So thank you, sequel trilogy.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's the one thing you're good for. You and that and Daisy, Finn, and Poe, and that's Daisy.
And
isn't that the Teletubbies, Kylo, Daisy, Finn, and Poe? Isn't that
the Daisy? I said the actress's name and then I said the character's name. So yeah.
Tinky Winky. We forgot Tinky Winky.
Does that mean
Kylo Rose, Tinky Winky?
No, those actually seeing Carrie Fisher on the big screen again, fantastic.
Yeah.
Seeing Luke Skywalker on the big screen again, fantastic. Everything else.
Yeah.
But it's generated a lot of content. It's the reason why we have this season of Bad Batch.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean otherwise there wouldn't be enough story to say, okay, what happened? Like, how do we, they're filling in gaps from the sequels and I'm here for it.
I mean, that's why we got Ahsoka as well. So.
Yeah. I will say Force Awakens is probably the best out of all the sequels, but there are some stuff that I do like from Last Jedi and even Rise of Skywalker. Granted,
there are elements, but I won't like willingly sit down and watch all three of them back. I'll watch the first one on purpose. The other two I'll just watch because they're on, or I'll just
Robin's gonna put it on for you. Just randomly.
So you see this ring that I'm wearing right now?
I'm a prequel girly. I will watch the prequel all day long.
It's John right here. See that ring right there? Yeah. So if I Andrew, don't even that ring would end up being cut off my finger if I openly put Last Jedi
on. Oh, Lord of the Rings styles.
Oh no,
I would travel up to New Hampshire and I'd slap you.
Oh, but no, wait.
That's just because I want to slap you.
Oh well, that's different. I guess that's different in that perspective.
But also because Last Jedi is probably your number one
of all time.
Yes.
you said it multiple times.
That's not true.
After watching the movie, yes.
I was like, "This movie is so awesome! It's my favorite Star Wars movie of all time." It's like, no, it's not. It's Revenge of the Sith, you dingwad. Jeez.
For anybody new watching, I can't name the names of the movies, so I reference them by number, and about half the time I'm wrong.
We tested that. So I just say
prequels, original, Expo, and sequels.
Yeah, we tested that at Fan Expo last year.
I will get canceled if I try to say the name of a movie and it's in fact the wrong movie.
Shailen, if you get canceled, Robin's gonna get canceled.
It's a mutual thing.
Well, Robin, I did it at our panel at Fan Expo. I totally I had this whole moment where I'm like, I can't name the films. I'm a fake fan. No, I name them by number. And
why you're the token female fan? In the
no comment.
But it says it down below.
But I mean,
unless she has it on screen.
I mean, I get it. They are technically labeled 1, 2, 3. So
yes.
So I don't know. It's not the
sequels are 7, 8, 9.
They are, and then the originals are 4, 5, and 6.
look at this number counting. We're doing so good. I love this.
4, 5, 6.
We can count to 9.
The thing that should only matter.
It will be soon 10, 11, 12.
Shot.
They're not doing another sequel trilogy. Don't put that out there.
We only get one movie, and that's Rey.
Yes. Yeah, that doesn't count. That's not in the trilogy canon. But
can we talk about it? Because Lucasfilm and Steven Knight came out and said that they're done with the script, right, Andrew?
That's correct.
So now we're at the point where it's like, okay, we're heading now towards, I don't know, maybe behind the scenes pictures upcoming of Daisy Ridley back on set. You know, I think the content around that's going to be really heavy come Star Wars Celebration. But the fact that Steven Knight and Lucasfilm have got this thing ready and ready to go, and Daisy Ridley's ready to rock on this. I mean, she's been going around to different film festivals and to different showings that, of other movies that she's in and answering questions about this project.
Can we just applaud her for that? Like, absolutely fantastic. Very grateful that she willing to come back and do this, because the amount of shit that she got after that first sequel movie was uncalled for. Uncalled for.
She did not deserve that at all.
No.
She got called a Mary Jane. Everybody was critiquing her character, critiquing the way she played the character. And I personally, like, I don't think that the problem with the sequels started until the second and third film in that pod. I think the first one was really well done. I think she did an excellent job. I liked the characters. I liked the direction. Like, it was a little bit, you know, but I liked it. Like, the first one was great. The amount of crap that she got.
Sorry, I had to put that up there.
She got from the fans. No, but really, the amount of crap that she got from the fans. I heard lots of people say, oh, she's a Mary Jane. Like, we had never... In theater, and I'm coming at this as somebody who, at that point, I was still only a films fan. I'd only watched the films. I'd not consumed any of the other content. I didn't even know Ahsoka existed. I'd seen her like in stills on Tumblr or whatever, but like I didn't even know who her character was. So in my experience as a films fan, she was the first representation we had of a female Jedi. I didn't even know that that Leia was trained as a Jedi. So yeah, so to have a girl on screen portray the Jedi in the same way, like Luke comes out of nowhere, like she's also from nowhere, rising up to be that Jedi and that she has this innate ability to do things as part of her attachment to the Force. And then all these fan bros are calling her a Mary Jane because like she automatically knows how to do everything and it doesn't make sense to the plot. Yes, it absolutely does. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm just really happy that she was willing to come back for this film after all the hate that she got after the sequels. And that she's walking around touring it, promoting it. It takes a lot of strength, and I'm very pleased that she's doing that.
I think we all would want John Boyega back but I don't think he's going to come back.
I don't think he will, unless they do go the actual route of him being Force-sensitive and being a Jedi. That was the original idea, and then got the shaft.
It should have been that.
That's right.
That would have made the film a lot.
He has to be Poe's boyfriend.
Yeah. That too. The two actors were for that too. They wanted to do that. But just adding on what Shayla was talking about, like I had no issues with Rey through the three films.
Yeah.
And this is just going back in the history of Brexit and Blockade. I called that she was a Palpatine from the start.
She
was a Palpatine. I did think that was stupid. I think it would have made more sense if she came from nothing or if she was another.
I would agree with
that. I think I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But I don't if she think was to be from some, to me,
it's going
to
be Palpatine.
Right.
But her character and Kylo Ren's characters were probably my favorite characters throughout the sequel trilogy. And I am excited to see what the character does in her new movie. And those who say she's a Mary Sue or Mary Jane, whatever the term is, I go back and watch Star Wars A New Hope. Luke is a farm boy. Mm-hmm. Why do you have no issue with him getting into an X-Wing, going up and blowing up the Death Star? But when Rey flies a Millennium Falcon, why do you have such an issue with that?
Yeah.
Because females can't be leaders.
Yeah.
Wait, that's the case, did they have an issue with Leia being a leader in the original trilogy? Did they have an issue with Padme being a leader? I don't think so.
It's a valid point.
But my biggest thing from the sequel trilogy era is the harassment not only Daisy Ridley got, but Kelly Marie Tran, what she got. It is disgusting.
Yeah.
She got worse than Daisy. Which
Yeah, it was terrible. And any of the fans that harass any of the actors, like Jake Lloyd, Ahmed Best, even Hayden Christensen, you all love them now. You love them now. But back then, don't even start being like, oh, I always loved Hayden. No.
Yeah,
you... No. You basically harass Hayden Christensen to the point he quit acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he had that reaction at Celebration. What was it? Last year where he was getting emotional, because it's like he expected everyone hated him.
Yeah. Yeah. He walked in there thinking like, oh my goodness, I'm going to get up on stage. I'm going to do this interview with the Star Wars news crew and nobody's going to cheer. Nobody's going to do anything. They're just going to stand there. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were only five people standing there. I'm pretty sure he said something like that in an interview at Celebration. I never expected that many people to show up for my interview on the Star Wars main stage. That is sad.
Yeah. And the fact that these fans, I use fan loosely with those people, decided to harass a, how old was Jake Lloyd? Eight years old? Yeah. To harass an eight-year-old kid to the point, he probably already had mental issues to begin with, but to the point that he is a mess now.
Yeah.
Like, not trying to be mean, but he's fucked up.
He didn't deserve
none of the actors deserved any of this shit.
No, it's true. It's true.
And I don't want to see one person that was giving Daisy Ridley bullshit when her new movie comes out and it's actually pretty good, being like, oh, we always supported Daisy Ridley and all that stuff.
Yeah. No. No. And I think that we're going to see that. And I think it's going to be up to us to be like, yeah, we're going to break down this film. We're going to talk about, you know, the amazing work that Daisy does as a whole. We're also going to talk
about what we don't like in it.
Right.
That would realistic. Be being fair.
Yes, like, yeah. Correct.
Like, I mean, it's going to happen with that.
We all drank the Kool-Aid when the sequels were coming out. We tricked ourselves.
it's going to happen to the same thing.
Star Wars in the theaters, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen with the same thing when the Acolyte comes out. And it's going to be terrible, but it's going to be true. And we got to...
What's next on our list?
Next on the list is we got some teaser stuff, some more Acolyte shots. Speaking of the Acolyte.
Speaking of Acolyte.
some more behind the scenes.
I meant to do that.
That was really good. We got a bunch more behind the scenes pictures from the Empire article. So, the one thing I'll say is they are not holding back when it comes to the High Republic period whatsoever. They are fully going into the books themselves and making sure that these characters are canonically accurate, that they're following certain storylines within the High Republic. And just the design itself, let me say, of the characters. I mean, we're tugging this line of light and darkness in all of these shots. I mean, this is really truly going to be a PG-14 style show. It's going to tug the line of some real violent concepts, I feel, just based on all these preview shots that we're getting. But also, it feels familiar. It feels very prequel. They're doing a really great job of trying to tie it back to the style of Phantom Menace and to the costuming, just everything that we're getting. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. And Empire Magazine, I really can't wait till this magazine, this specific Acolyte preview comes out, because I know the clip that we're probably going to get, that we are going to get, I shouldn't say probably, that we are going to get before The Phantom Menace is going to be a nice little tie-in before we watch The Phantom Menace into that connection between this period and the one that we're most familiar with, which is The Phantom Menace itself.
And I like that they're, because the focus they're getting away from, Clone Wars, everything like that, it seems like they're going to be touching new territory, which is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you haven't read any of the High Republic books, I highly recommend them. No pun intended.
Maybe
a little bit. Because it's such a unique time period. There's no Sith. There's still political bullshit, but it's not as bad as during the Clone Wars. And the main enemy is the Nile, which is Vikings in Star Wars, which is fantastic.
What a different direction.
I know.
It's really cool. Yeah. The Acolyte can't come out any faster. That was really it. I mean, the more that we see these teasers come out across
Twitter. I did like the one shot where they're training, and it's not like actual like training lightsabers. They're actually using like training swords, like wooden swords.
Yeah. No,
which would make more sense than them using actual lightsabers to train.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem right with when the younglings were like swinging the lightsabers around.
Yeah, it's amazing that they're able to pull in so many parts of the High Republic period. And, you know, it's going to be really great for Star Wars fans who want to get into the novels themselves, too. I think the Acolyte, just watching the series itself, folks are going to be like, oh, I should go back and read this book, or I need to get more background story about this specific character. The best way in order for me to do that is to, oh, what's Star Wars telling me? Oh, I need to go back and read this specific novel within the High Republic series. So there's going to be this amazing opportunity for Star Wars to say, hey, we're exploring this time period. We're giving you content around it. We already have the canon to back it up. Now you can go and explore that. I think that this is a new approach for Star Wars specifically as well. I think that this is something we're going to see going forward. It's not necessarily something they could have done with The Mandalorian, because there was a lot of restructuring that was happening in the novels and in the books and everything, that they had to figure out, okay, what are we doing with Legends content? Are we gonna bring some of that back into the story? Are we not? This is the unique opportunity that Star Wars and the publishing groups have that are going to be centered around. We're pushing out this content with Dave Filoni. Dave says these books should come before we give this out to the folks so that they can go back and enjoy and learn along the way. That's a winning formula to me, I think.
Didn't work for some shows.
Right. But I mean, I think that it's something that they've wanted to explore. I was talking to Scott Inch, and he specifically said that he hasn't been that happy with the canon recently in terms of stuff that happened before all these series came out on Disney Plus. And I can't blame him. And he was like, you know what? There's only a few pieces of canon that I want to hold on to, because I feel like Lucasfilm is not honoring some of the canon of the past. And I get that. Yeah. I think that there are specific stories that the canon was written by authors, and there were opportunities for that to be inserted into the newer content that we're receiving. And they didn't take that opportunity and give it to us. So I don't know what that dynamic is going to be like going forward, but I think we're heading in the right direction. And I think they're trying to repair that relationship with the authors through the High Republic series and through the Acolyte. Mm-hmm. Just seems like that.
Yeah,
I can see that. And I get where Scott Inch is coming from, because like my issue with Asajj Ventress coming back when Dark Disciple happened and stuff like that. But I have no issues with how it's being done now. It's also the same thing with Depa Dalaba's death in the beginning of Bad Batch, spoiler alert. Her death in the comics is different. The Bad Batch has nothing to, is not even there. It's they're charting in for the night, and it's a night setting, and it's at the comm, and then they get the order 66. And then it's like, shit. And the other thing that was weird is they changed Depa's lightsaber from green to blue, which that I did find weird.
Yeah, little bits and pieces there. I think we're I think that there are a lot of those, Shaylin. I think that fans are picking up on those things. Not that we're going to go across social media and go nuts about them, but I think that it's not the opportunity. Not yet. Of course, there is some. But I think that there are opportunities for them to kind of say, hey, we're going this direction because the payout, you're going to welcome the payout. You're going to like the payout that's going to come from it. So I think it's the in Filoni we trust. And I think it's the in Lucasfilm we trust to bring these stories forward and to make sure that, yeah, if we're developing canon content, if the authors are spending their time on it, then yeah, we're going to do something with it and we're going to have it continuity wise make sense at the end of the day.
I mean, you would hope some of the authors would be part of the new content.
Yeah.
Right.
Which exactly. We hope so. I mean,
yeah, I know. And that's that fine line.
And it does help out that the creator of Acolyte, I forget her name, but she was a fan of the Legends novels and stuff like that beforehand. So that does help out. And I'm pretty sure she is going to stay pretty true to the High Republic novels because that is before Acolyte. So, but she's going to be pulling characters from those books, which some of those characters are probably some of my favorites in Star Wars.
Leslie Headland.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Leslie. Yep. She's going to do an amazing job with the series, 100%. And, you know, coming up from the Acolyte and moving forward in the timeline, we have Phantom Menace. And, you know, more Phantom Menace merchandise for the 25th anniversary was dropped today. And, guys,
I need that hoodie that they dropped.
I'm scared. I think this is some of the best Star Wars merch that we've seen in a while.
Wait until next year for Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, I'm going to go all out with that.
Yeah. I love the way Sean frames that. I'm going all out. That's it. Yeah, it's been great in terms of the merch drops in preparation for the Phantom Menace. Of course, many of you out there who are listening or watching this episode know that we are doing a Phantom Menace meetup on May the 4th at Showcase Cinemas in Randolph, Massachusetts at 6:45 p.m. showing. Tickets are still available. We're super excited about it. We want you to come down and hang out with the Blockade and Commander Nerd and the Steelbook crew. But Andrew, I mean, as we approach Phantom Menace being re-released in theaters in honor of May the 4th and the 25th anniversary, I can't believe the amount of stuff. Like, even Kelly Knox, the other night when I interviewed her in her book, Be More Obi-Wan, and Star Wars joke, shameless plug there yet again.
Tell a joke.
I'm not going to tell a joke. I told her that I would save it for when I have kids. That's the goal. So, Andrew, I think this is so cool that we're getting so much Phantom Menace merch once again, and that May the 4th
this year. Are they going to re-release Pod Racer, though?
I think there's something more coming.
Would we have to go to Chuck E. Cheese to play it, though?
I don't know if
we release Pod Racer on the Switch.
Yeah, well, there is Pod Racer on the Switch, but I mean, it'd be cool if they remastered it.
Is it the original one, or is it Racer Revenge? Because I like the second one better.
It's the original one, I think.
Okay. Because the second one you could play as Darth Maul. And he had a Pod Racer, which didn't make any sense, but it was cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I think that we have so much more content coming in terms of May the 4th, whether it's merch drops or even other announcements of other projects that Lucasfilm is working on.
I'm just saying, what do you guys Black Series, just do Qui-Gon Jinn's lightsaber. It's right there.
Sean, do you think we're done? Do you think we're done with Do you think we're done with stuff just yet, or do you think we're going to get more May the 4th?
We're going to get a lot more into routine May until May the 4th. So
it's going to be May.
So make sure you guys also check out that meetup event. We're going to share it across social media, of course, the link to get tickets to it. It's going to be a super fun time, May the 4th, with the Brick City Blockade and Commander Nerd. And the Steelbook crew. It's going to be a packed theater with a lot of fun happening behind the scenes. So really, really excited about that. That does it pretty much for news and stuff coming up down the road there. However, folks, we teased it last week. It's time for it this week. It's a new segment here from the Brick City Blockade as we start to expand, or as Andrew says, whoa, look what we've done. We've become this whole new brand new podcast in some way, shape, or form. Folks, it's time for Reviews with the Commander. Hey, look at that. Fancy stuff.
I still can't get over that. We're evolving as a podcast.
Or do you? Andrew, what do you got for us? What do you got for us?
Well, I did see Godzilla X Kong what was it, 2 weeks ago now?
I saw it 2 weeks ago.
I enjoyed it. I'm not going to compare it to Godzilla Minus One because there's no comparison.
I haven't seen it yet. Still need to see it.
I'm not going to say anything on Minus One. But it was fun. I liked it better than the first Godzilla versus Kong. It didn't take itself too seriously, which it's a kaiju movie. It shouldn't take itself too seriously.
It also felt like very like 70s.
Yeah, absolutely.
60s comedy Godzilla.
It threw it back to the Showa era of the Godzilla films where it was more campy, everything like that. Godzilla did a perfect swan dive off a cliff. It was amazing. It was beautiful.
He also suplexed King Kong.
He did suplex King Kong. but it was a lot of fun. I am curious to see where the MonsterVerse goes. I would like to see them make.
Speaking of the MonsterVerse, they are doing a second season of Monarch.
Okay.
They just released it.
And did I think Monarch lead into Godzilla X Kong or no?
It's more focused on like that too. Like to the first Godzilla, like to the 14 Godzilla, that era, but it's I think it's gonna lead up to that.
Okay.
To Godzilla versus Kong, so I mean,
yeah.
Without any spoilers, they do like time jumps, so.
Good time jumps.
It works pretty well for the for the show. I mean, if you understand, so.
Yeah. I also did watch the new docuseries or documentary that WWE put out about Bray Wyatt. Those who have been following the podcast know that Robin and I did have a brief podcast talking about wrestling. And one of our favorite wrestlers that we would talk about was Bray Wyatt because he came up with such a cool concept called the Firefly Funhouse, which if it was anyone else, it wouldn't have worked.
I remember watching that with you guys during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It was so fun watching those.
He unfortunately passed away last year. And this documentary was showing how he grew up in the business because his father and his uncle were wrestlers in the 80s. So he grew up in the business. Him and his brother wanted to be a tag team, be these monster characters. And just seeing how loved of a person he was, because he was a father to young kids and everything like that. And everyone that I've watched interview-wise has said nothing bad about Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. And seeing it takes a because like in the wrestling business, there's those that are like pieces of shit, like Hulk Hogan, everything like that. And to have your peers just say like there was nothing bad to say about Bray Wyatt. And it's so sad how he passed away because he was only 37 years old.
Right.
And it's crazy how short life is. And it just made me think about the past year that I had. Without the podcast, the Steelbook crew, everything like that, I don't think I would have been mentally ready for PAX or anything like that. With you guys helping me last year, as well as the Steelbook crew, my family, I appreciate you guys so much. And I love you all. And you're stuck with me forever now. So,
damn it. Love you.
Love you too, Sean. It just shows like the friendships and bonds you make over the years, even if it's just online, you can impact other people. And just if you take anything away from what I'm talking about tonight is, Even if it's someone that you might have had an argument with in the past, anything like that, just put it aside. Life is too short. Reach out to anyone that maybe someone you haven't talked to in a few years, just reach out to someone, because you might not get another chance to talk to that person again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautifully said, Andrew. Beautifully, beautifully said. And okay. I know this is a tough time for you. I know this is a difficult time for, you know, just to kind of reflect on everything that has happened across the year and whatever else. And, you know, I think that camaraderie, that brotherhood, sisterhood that we have, in terms of maintaining and growing our friendships is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And no matter what the world throws at us, no matter how we feel about the prequels, sequels, the trilogies as a whole, right? Or even the smaller things in life. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we have each other and we have the ability to affect each other in positive ways. And the consistent communication and knowing that you can reach out to somebody and talk to them about virtually anything, right? Whether it's dark or whether it's the greatest moment of their life is super, super important that we have that available to us. So I want to applaud you, Andrew, for this past year. I think Andrew, you know, Sean, Shailen, and I can't even imagine, you know, how difficult that it's been. And for anybody out there who's been experiencing that, you've got a safe home here with the Brick City Blockade.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a safe space to come on here, fool around, swear a lot, and you know, talk about Star Wars and everything with us. So
it's a really important. But I do want to add, if you are dealing with a loss, anything like that, it's okay to be sad and grieve.
Yeah,
but don't shut yourself out from other people. In my past, I was one who would just kind of close myself off from just the world when I was sad or anything else. But I knew with my dad's passing, I knew, if I was to do that, shut myself off or just not be myself, I know, Robin, you would have been like, hey, what's going on? It's okay to be sad, but reach out and just, even if it's just writing stuff down in a notebook or anything, that will help. And if you need anyone to talk to your parents, talk to anyone. Even if you need to talk to a therapist for anything, just so you have someone to talk to.
Yeah, seeking help from familiar faces or somebody who is a professional and can understand how to address the feelings that you have and be willing to sit down with you and kind of discuss, yeah, you know what? Those feelings are big and those feelings are important and they're not, you know, not anything to be ignored. And you have a crew around you. And Andrew, you know, you have a crew around you and a family around you to support you across the entire way. And like Rural Farm Boy says,
absolutely.
This includes listener friends. I am glad to be counted a mug. Absolutely, Rural Farm Boy. You know, you are part of, you are a blockader. You are a member of this family. And then I just want to go back to Laren for a second. I want that Porkins movie. Damn it.
Oh, we know how the movie ends.
Do we?
Yeah, you kind of blows up. He kind of blows up.
Yeah, no, that's true. He does.
He's got to go to the thighs first.
Yeah, that's very true.
He's got to what?
He has to go through his thighs first.
Farm boy.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate that rule. Anyway, folks, on that note, knowing that you have a fandom, you have friends, you have a blockade, and...
yes, thank you.
You know, I'm here. Love it. It's that time of the show. It's a little thing we like to call
butt plug time.
Oh, I'm gonna let it get. I'm gonna let it slip. I'm gonna let it slip tonight. Just this once.
He's gonna just let this it slide.
He's giving you a hall pass.
I'm giving you a hall pass.
Well, thank you for my hall pass, teacher Robin. Teacher Robin. Sorry, Mr. Vote.
It's plug time here at the Brick City Blockade. Let's fire it over to Mr. Sean Michaud. Where can the good people find
me
across social media?
You guys can follow me on Twitter, Sean Michaud 1, Instagram as It's Zone Z, and you can add me on Facebook, follow me on Facebook, whatever. And, and if you want to talk to me about this, what we just talked about,
he won't respond to you within like 6 months on Facebook, though. Just be aware of that.
True, because I'm at work, you say, and I'm just no internet.
Before Shaylin falls asleep, Shaylin, where can the good people follow you across social media?
Why do you keep asking me? My social medias are all locked down.
They can find you, though.
Yeah, you can find me, but that doesn't mean I'm going to accept.
Access denied.
I only let one guy follow me on Instagram when I had my Instagram set to private, and that's because my mom told me to, and now I'm engaged, so.
What's so funny, Andrew?
Nothing.
You just let out the biggest op.
Did you not know that my mom introduced us?
I did, but I didn't realize like the Instagram thing or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my Instagram, I had just come back from France, and my Instagram, during the COVID lockdown, and my Instagram was on, set to request, like, you have to request to follow.
Yeah, I said to that private. A couple of times.
And that's what it is, I think that's what it's at now. Yep. And he requested me, and my mom, like, pops her head in my bedroom, and she's like, hey, did you get a request from a guy named Robin? And I was like, hang on, let me check, and I did. And sure enough,
so what you're saying is,
let him follow you. He's a good guy. And he messaged me. And at the time, he was running for city council. And I thought he was going to ask me to volunteer for his campaign.
Robin's blushing.
We ended up talking about Disney for an hour instead.
Wow. So what you're saying is,
he didn't ask me out until more than a year later.
So what you're saying is, Robin told your mom to tell you to let him follow you.
Maybe.
Essentially.
I like your daughter. Make sure it's okay.
It's Shaylin Grace.
Ah, there we go. See? After all of that.
It's not private, but it's there.
Only a few more months, though.
It won't be.
That's still going to be my name. I'm not changing my middle name. You know Grace isn't my last name, right? It's just the name that I use on social media.
It won't be Frost anymore.
Right, I will be Shaylin Vote in a couple of months, but my
Instagram is
not
going to
change because it's my first
name.
What?
Did you see what Sean said?
No.
Only the audio of I'm having a stroke. Only the audio people will understand what just happened.
I mean, if you watch the whole thing again and the whole thing, you can hear what I say.
That's too much effort. What did you say?
What did you say?
I said I will be Sean Vote in a couple months.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we'll adopt you.
Thank you.
We'll adopt you.
Once again, congratulations.
Once again. Congratulations.
Commander Nerd, Mr. Andrew Garish, where can the good people find you across social media? And Commander Nerd.
You can find me on Twitter at Commander Nerd, YouTube at Commander Nerd, Instagram Andrew62592. And you can find us on May 4th at Phantom Menace at Showcase Cinema, which is still kind of a little suspicious on that, but yeah.
Yeah, Showcase Cinemas, if you're watching or listening, which I have a sneaky suspicion you might be.
Sponsor. You can do a sponsor. You could do a sponsor.
Yeah, like we're just looking for popcorn friends. Buckets. I like that.
Except,
let's be friends.
Except.
Follow us on MySpace.
No, Andrew. We've already talked about this.
Shaylin, I'll be sure to put Showcase Cinema in my top 8 friends.
Okay.
That might help us out. And you can post your for close friends only the story.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Where can they find Shaylin, you?
Where can they find me? Who are you putting over there? We go. that's where I am.
Oh, you guys we have a secret guest over there.
Who's that?
don't know.
It's James Earl Jones.
Hey, look at James Earl Jones.
There he is.
It's Bruce Wayne. Oh my goodness. For folks that don't know, that is our cat, Boo. She is having a fantastic time here. She's a very good cat, but also very naughty during the day. And she will run across the floor and trip me a couple different times.
Boo's asking where they can find you. Robin, you trip
over the air.
Oh. He trips over his own legs. So, yeah.
Oh. He's too tall.
That's not why he trips over his own legs.
It's because he's a big goof.
He's a cripple.
What?
Wait, does this mean you can get the handicap spot at stores now?
You guys can follow me over on Twitter at @X_RobinWVote. Brick City Blockade might be going to Massachusetts now for the May the 4th showing.
After that comment.
Wow, okay. You gotta pay me back for those tickets, right?
I mean, maybe.
You know, New Hampshire's not that far away.
I know, you can come up and kick my ass.
I think he's gonna slap you, but okay.
Oh, that's what I thought.
I've already spanked him like twice, so.
You guys can follow me over on Twitter at X. Shaylin, what were you gonna say?
It's my job.
Well, Deerfield Fair and at PAX East. And you gave me a high five for the first spank.
It's true.
I made him
at Brick City Blockade. At Brick City Blockade.
I don't think anyone's over listening anymore.
Over on Twitter.
I'm not listening anymore. I'm just going to take these out. I can't hear you. And my life is better for it.
We'll see you on the next episode of Brick City Blockade.
I'm done.
See you at the Phantom Menace showing. Make sure to get your tickets and everything, and we'll catch you there. Let's wrap it up. See you guys later. Episode 59 coming up down the road, and we will see you soon. Have a fantastic evening, and as we always say,
may the force be with you.
Always.
What's that? Live long and prosper.
No, we don't. No, we don't do that.
Bye.
Yes, we're gonna do another
turn. Cut it
soon.